rocking some chicken fingers in there?
Chicken tenders today.
Jesus.
Ooh, like the chicken tenders.
With
got
Cajun
the chicken
sauce.
Fingers and the sauce.
Makes
going.
His homemade cane sauce.
I will.
Joe, what's over in the corner?
What are you, 9 years old? You got to eat. Oh,
I'm glad, Joe, you said it that way because on occasion I will go to my local festival and get a couple chicken tenders.
Yeah.
And my kid will, because he eats really well, he'll look at me when I come home and he'll call me a bleeping child.
That's right. They're just the scrap.
What?
That's the stuff that sweep up off the chicken floor.
We're rolling.
God, you're buzz kills. Wow. What's it like to be so precious and perfect and better than the entire world?
What are you talking?
Both of you.
I'm the one that eats them, dumbass.
Both of you.
Listen to what I said. Jesus, God, Kenny.
It's not even real
John,
chicken.
You're horrible, John.
We're rolling.
Kenny, I'm the one that
I hope so.
He's the one that swears at me.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Store.
That's it. I'm out of here.
What are we doing today?
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Store.
I've wreaked havoc.
Can I swear now?
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1,284, April 10th, 2024. 88 degrees on this day back in 1977.
Hey.
And 18 degrees on this day in 1962. The swimming season is rapidly approaching. We're headed for the 70s this weekend. And if you have a lake or a swimming hole, get a hold of Aquaside. They'll take care of the algae and the weeds and all the junk that's in there that you don't want. Aquaside's been helping people maintain great lake shores for more than 60 years. They're a White Bear Lake company. They know their lakes. They have a complete line of lake and pond control products that work quickly. They're safe. They're approved by the DNR, but most importantly, very easy to use. I've used them. That's how easy they are. Call them. They'll identify your weed problem and get you the right products. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com. We have ice outs brought to you by Aquaside. Minnetonka went out today.
Come on.
In 1934, 1959, 1963. 1977, you'll note that the record high today was 1977, 88 degrees, and 1992. White Bear Lake went out on April 10th, 1935, 1948, 1953, and like Minnetonka, in 1992.
Hail the Flashlight King!
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your Flashlight King, Fireworks Commissioner, and the Keeper of Common Sense, your Mayor, Joe Soucheray.
I got on. We were talking about Kathy Cargill yesterday and our desire that she would join us on the show. I have people working on that. I don't know.
Good.
I don't know if she'll join us.
Please.
But
of course
I got a note from Brian Miller, who writes, a listener since the beginning. I love the segment on Kathy Cargill, an ore docker. I am in my 13th year as the athletic director of the Ore Dockers. We are proud of that mascot. You nailed the pronunciation of the family name of, he keeps calling her Mary Cargill, Kathy Cargill. It's Paspahala. Yeah. That is a great Ashland family who have towed vehicles and helped people for many years. We would be thrilled if Superior and Duluth have denigrated this wonderful woman. If she loses her investment, we would certainly allow her to help develop the waterfront in Ashland.
I've just had an idea. Who was that hack writer that you loved so much in New York when he couldn't interview anybody important for the JFK murder, interviewed the doctor or the ambulance driver or whatever the hell the guy was?
I will not answer you till you retract the hack part.
That was just me fishing. My idea is
Jimmy Breslin.
We take a page from his book.
Yeah.
And we interview her dad.
Well, we could. Or we interviewed the athletic director at the Ore Dockers.
No, her dad.
Let me tell you more about Mary.
Willard Anger writes, we all enjoy Rookie's unique blend of open valve commentary and class clown disruptiveness. But hasn't he been around a lot lately? Is it slow at the airport? God love him, Willard Anger.
Okay. I ran into Mary Morality today. Jim from Sanibel, who's no longer in Sanibel.
Right.
He said hello. I did miss 50 Cent. 50 was at the Timberwolves game last night where Anthony Edwards scored 51 for 50.
Yeah. Did you talk to Mary Morality?
I greeted her. I did not introduce who I was because she was from afar.
I wonder where that fraud's going now on vacation.
She's teasing her that she was on vacation, but she says it's actually for work. So it was just 10 seconds.
Wait. Wait.
Does she know who you are?
We don't know that.
No idea. I think she was surprised to be recognized.
I don't think I can respect you if you didn't say something mean to her.
I wasn't close enough.
You could have yelled, go bleep yourself.
Just at the top of your lungs.
You know what? I just wasn't feeling it.
Hey, Mary, GL says go.
Can I finish these emails before I get to the destructive news?
What are you waiting for?
Well, Downing has a prediction. We have women's college basketball coaches being pressured to say they would welcome trans players on their teams. As that becomes a reality, we will get to the point where any coach who does not have a trans player on his or her team will be questioned. Why don't you have any trans players? Are you and your program transphobic? As a result, they will start to actively recruit trans players. They will all need a token tranny. The irony, the token tranny player will often be the best player on the team. Downing notes, put this in the book of predictions. Well, it's either that or the insanity will end, and we won't have to have boys on women's teams.
I don't see that happening. I think he's right. It's ESG. They don't have any choice. They have to do it.
Dawn Staley, what school is it? South Carolina championship team, said that she welcomes trans players. Finally, another note on the eclipse. All right. I'm guessing you're played out on eclipse news, but here's the email my daughter's school sent last week regarding eclipse safety. I won't put his name down. Dear Big Lake families, as we approach the highly anticipated solar eclipse on Monday, April 8th, we want to take a moment to remind our students and families about the importance of safety viewing this celestial event. While solar eclipses are remarkable, it is crucial to remember the potential dangers associated with looking directly at the sun. We'll be working with staff to keep students indoors during the eclipse to discourage unsafe viewing of the event while we can.
Wow.
Jeez. Please note that the eclipse is anticipated to begin around 1 p.m. and end around 3 p.m. This means we cannot completely avoid students going outside and being tempted to look at the sun as our elementaries dismiss students within that time frame. As partners in your child's education and well-being, we ask for your assistance in reinforcing to never look directly at the sun. Even during an eclipse, the sun's rays can cause serious damage to the eyes. Please take some time this weekend to remind your child to never look directly at the sun without proper eye protection. Right now, if the weather prediction of clouds and rain on Monday holds true, there will be no concerns. However, we appreciate your support in reinforcing these important safety guidelines at home in case the weather predictions change. Sincerely, Tim Trubenbach, Superintendent.
Okay. Tim, you don't get it.
Tim is a very, very soft individual. He was probably raised by hippie crybabies who didn't dare let their kids out of the house. I don't know about you guys, but as a child, it never occurred to me to look at the sun until somebody told me not to.
Right.
And then I'm looking right at it. And
don't press this button.
What happened when I looked at the sun? I learned a valuable lesson that still holds true today.
I thought the whole deal was the kids made their little viewing cardboards in class where they cut a little hole.
Or,
and then they took them outside, and you got to see the eclipse.
The cardboard sunglasses,
yes.
The welding mask.
Kid, I used to have. Kid, I used to have paid extra to overnight to herself the eclipse viewing sunglasses. There being nothing to see here in the Twin Cities.
Well, you can't have it all, right?
One that surfaced is one of my favorites. It's an oldie but a goodie, in which there's a woman trying to get a little bit closer to get a photo on her cell phone. She takes out the stepladder that's about 2 feet high. That out of door.
Get a better view.
Yep. Well, that's the equivalent of the woman who wanted it moved to the weekend.
Right. Yeah.
Joe, whatever happened to the Garage Logic Groin Kick Awards?
Because the groinies.
They're so frequent that we just could not keep up.
You've read two of those kind
groin
of letters.
Groin Kick is super.
Okay. Yeah, in the last 2 days. You read another one yesterday, too. A Minnetonka. From Reavers' part of the world.
Yeah, it was down Reavers way. Same thing. Just
that deserves this.
There you go. I have a concerning note. The Reverend Tim needs a kidney.
Oh, boy.
He's got some kidney disease. He needs a transplant. I think we should mention that on the off chance that people could help Tim. Maybe we should call him later in the week and see how his search is going. He does the Lord's work.
Yeah, he does.
Literally. He needs some help there, the Reverend Tim. Is today the 10th of April?
Yes. Sure is.
Yes.
Is that a blood type match situation? How do you know if
you're... I believe it is.
A match.
I don't know that.
All right. Okay.
Well, this is dated the 10th. We have a new State Department diversity chief.
Oh.
All right. The Biden administration has a new State Department diversity chief who has called America a failed historic model and demanded the destruction of tradition at every juncture on the altar of anti-racism. Her, of course, Blinken announced this appointment. Her name is Zakiya Carr Johnson. She's now the chief diversity and inclusion officer for the State Department.
Well, let's check her background here.
And Blinken touted Carr, C-A-R-R, Carr Johnson, for bringing expertise and a fresh perspective on how we build a workforce that reflects America. Well, I would reflect America, too, but all the Americans I know don't hate America.
Oh, correct.
Carr Johnson previously served as Obama's senior advisor and director of the first Race, Ethnicity, and Social Inclusion Unit of the State Department. Blinken noted her experience since leaving Obama's State Department. Her previous work promoting entrepreneurship and access to opportunity for underrepresented populations, as well as her commitment to inclusive leadership, make us stronger, smarter, and more innovative, he said. BS. Carr Johnson's experience consists of owning two relatively obscure companies. Odara Solutions, a DEI consulting firm, and Black Women Disrupt, an initiative in which Carr Johnson interviewed black women involved in creative spaces around the world. She had a YouTube channel. It had 125 subscribers.
How many?
Wow. 125.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she's a
thousand?
She's making
125.
Oh, whoops.
She's making top dollar off
I was
that.
Impressed there for a while.
She said in a feminist webinar in August of 2020, because we live and work within systems so deeply rooted in patriarchy and colonialism and racism and otherism. What have I been telling you all along? This all has to do with the country was flawed.
But what is she doing? She's got these jobs, probably getting these grants. What are they doing with the money?
Well, she's an activist, so that means she's living off the money.
Right.
She's not accomplishing anything.
I'm trying to look up
We tend to be very resistant to shifts and changes. It's very uncomfortable for many colleagues. A culture of misogyny has allowed men to act without consequences, and it becomes part of what we believe is normal, right? In order to make any change, we've literally got to be about the work of dismantling the traditional structure at every juncture. She believes America is a failed historical model with a colonizing past. I guess they deleted that part of her.
She sounds so patriotic, Joe.
Who are you quoting there again, Joe?
Her.
Okay, her. Okay, because I have Blinken's statement.
Yeah, I read Blinken's statement.
Oh, the last paragraph is a real charmer.
I didn't get to that yet. Feminist, I can't. This is insanity, folks. It's just, it's a crazy.
Well, from what I'm seeing, it's saying one thing and then doing another, from what I'm reading from Blinken.
She demands intersectionality in all spaces.
Is that a made-up word?
I think so. I'm looking for Blinken's last quote. You can read it to me because I can't.
This is the official release from the U.S. State Department, the final paragraph. All of us at the State Department must work to advance DEIA if we are to create the inclusive workplace environment we need to continue to attract and retain the nation's top talent. When the people making decisions on behalf of the American people don't reflect the full diversity of our nation, we all lose and our national security is weaker. Together, we will ensure the United States is best positioned to meet the challenges and opportunities of an increasingly complex world. So you read that, and that says one thing, and it's almost hard to disagree with it. But then you read the quotes from the gal, and it makes you kind of go, huh.
There is no Wikipedia page for her.
Is this the 10th of April?
Yep.
Well, we learned this today, too, that we got to rename the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore.
What'd Francis do?
Well, the Caucus of African American Leaders,
oh my God,
is requesting Maryland Governor Wes Moore and the General Assembly to rename the bridge in honor of Representative Perrin J. Mitchell, the first black congressman elected to the U.S. House of Representatives from Maryland. The group said the bridge should not be named after the writer of the national anthem, who was a slaveholder. Okay. Key wrote the Star-Spangled Banner while he was a prisoner aboard a British ship in the port of Baltimore during the War of 1812. He grew up on a slave-holding plantation in Maryland. He owned at least six enslaved individuals himself. He did free several of them eventually. His relationship with slavery is complicated. He opposed the transatlantic slave trade, and as an attorney, he defended enslaved people seeking their freedom. But he also represented slaveholders hoping to regain their runaway property. While Key opposed abolition, he supported the idea of sending free black men and women to Africa. He helped establish the American Colonization Society, which started a colony on the west coast of Africa, but became the independent nation of Liberia. See, you learn more here by accident than anywhere else. By design.
He publicly criticized slavery and gave free legal representation to some slaves seeking freedom, but he also represented owners of runaway slaves.
The group is also calling to rename a bridge in Dorchester County named after Senator Frederick C. Malkus Jr. The group says he was resistant to desegregation during the Civil Rights Movement. The group proposed renaming the bridge after civil rights leader Gloria Richardson. This is from WTOP in Washington. They reached out to Governor Wes Moore's office for comment. The governor said, I am laser focused on providing closure to these families, meaning the people who lost life during the bridge falling down. I'm focused on clearing the channel and rebuilding the bridge. Well, the Francis Scott Key name won't last. That'll go. And I don't know who this
other. You are related, bro.
I am?
Distant cousin to F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Really?
Yes. I don't know how distant, but you are related to You're a shirt tail relative of Francis Scott
Key. I am.
Yep.
And I never owned slaves.
No, no. Well, we didn't have them in Minnesota, so you know you couldn't do that here.
Could they name the bridge after me?
The Suchi Bridge.
Oh, no, we'd find something in your past for sure.
I'll give them a whole list of things.
Yeah.
My question, though, is with Governor Wes Moore. Is it true his firstborn son, his name is Les?
I think so. Les Moore.
Les Moore?
Les
Moore. Told you, you got to read the book, The Other Wes Moore.
I'm sitting here going, Les Moore?
Well, playing the role of Reavers today.
Right.
Yeah. Look at the weather forecast and get up to EcoFun Motorsports. Man. In Forest Lake on Saturday, or the Burnsville store. I believe Kalen Bloom is hosting an e-bike demo day, though, at the Forest Lake store because they got the great parking lot. So you go in there, you get the e-bike on sale. Kalen, you go outside, she's going to adjust everything. You're not going to leave there with anything except the perfect e-bike. It's this Saturday, 70 degrees are forecast. You can test ride the newest Yamaha, Bentelli, and Scootstar electric bikes. Pre-season sale prices are still in effect. Yamaha electric bikes are at dealer invoice pricing and come with a 5-year warranty. And Yamaha is throwing in a second battery for free. So get fitted for the correct bike. The Forest Lake store is also the new home of Yamaha Wave Runners and Kawasaki jet skis. The showroom, which is a fantasy land, has a great selection in stock ready to create memories this summer for you and your family on the lakes. You wouldn't use it on the street. You'd use it on the lakes. Kawasaki Mule off-road vehicles are on sale right now for a March Madness sale that he's continuing. You mentioned GL, and they will honor that extra discounted price until the end of April. Mention GL, and they honor the March Madness sale prices until the end of April. And those Kawasaki Mules come with an industry-leading 3-year warranty because they are the best quality workhorses in the industry.
Here's why Tim is brilliant.
Yeah.
He's an outside-the-box thinker. Yeah. No one else is doing April Madness.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's March Madness, but he's continuing it into April.
That's what makes it great.
It's crazy.
Scooters, bikes, youth recreational equipment, service apparel, helmets, you name it. EcoFun in Forest Lake, immediately west of 35E on 97, and down in Burnsville on the Service Road of Life near County Road 42.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
What are you doing?
I'm eating an apple.
What are you doing, Joe?
Trying to get people concerned here.
Well, I tried getting your attention, the fact that we went 18 minutes long. Jesus.
What's wrong with that? It's a podcast. You can do whatever you want.
No.
Oh, yes.
Let's get her going here.
Oh, yeah.
See, we have these things called breaks in which deals with ad insertions.
No, I know.
I mean, I can get you in on all the meetings if you'd like.
No, you're good?
Okay.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
Get ready and all set up.
Like putting gas in it.
No.
Why didn't this work?
I fixed Chris? It yesterday.
Yes, sir. It's not working, yes. Chris.
Okay, here. You know what, Joe? Just for you.
God.
Because you've been so patient and you're waiting.
Is that his cylinder index or his golf score? Either way, it's a big number.
Oh, why does
he? Here's Joe Souchere.
Huh?
Operator error, I'm going to
guess. Are we on break?
No. Hi, Kenny.
This guy wears many hats.
There we go.
Just not indoors.
Now I can finish
Joe Souchere.
You know what? Play another liner that we've heard a million times in the last 10 years. You done?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
What are your wildest dreams for your skanky backyard?
A Jeep with a tent on the roof.
Oh, I can do that. Trees.
I'm thinking more along the lines of landscaping suits, but I see where you're going.
Sure.
That's not a bad
idea. Place to go.
Yeah.
You're
maybe professionalturf.com could make a concrete paver staircase.
Park it right there.
Right there.
Up to the little bedroom on top of your Jeep.
Where's Papa Joe?
He's in his Jeep.
Whatever you dream up for that backyard, front yard, side yard, whatever, professionalturf.com, they can do it for you. Trees, shrubs, concrete, pavers, stones, fire pits, driveways, walkways. Why do you park on a walkway?
Park on a driveway.
They can do that for you. And you know what? If you were like me when I called ProTurf many, many years ago, I didn't really have anything in mind. I just wanted some shrubs gone, and I wanted a nice patio. And they showed it all to me before they even put a shovel in the ground with their landscape computer voodoo thing. It's really cool. You'll actually be able to see the design before they start doing it. The pros at professionalturf.com, their design team, they can install a landscape and outdoor living space plan for your home that not only will you love, but it'll force the value up. It'll force your equity up, and that's what we all want. They provide superior lawn care, landscape, and irrigation service. They've been kicking around since 1982. That's why they're the best. Schedule that free ProTurf estimate today at professionalturf.com.
You know that Ron the sewer rat guy you steered me to yesterday?
Yeah, love him.
Do you think he's a GLer?
He's got to be.
How can he not
be? I don't see how he couldn't be.
Well, there's two ways to look at that. You could be a GLer and be unaware of the show. But if you listen to the show, you're automatically a GLer.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I guess when you say, is somebody a GLer, I mean, do they listen? So I got to get a hold of this Ron the sewer rat guy.
Do they listen to what?
The show.
Oh.
For me, the reason I think Ron, even though he may or may not listen, is a GLer is because he didn't try to upsell me on anything. And he said, yeah, I can deal with this and it won't cost much. And it didn't. And
time
I was
out,
happy.
Time out. What can you seriously upsell on a drain? You know,
oh, we got the cameras.
You want the deluxe? You want the deluxe drain model, or you want the regular?
Oh, trust me, Matthew. Next thing you know, they'll be digging holes in the floor in your basement and running cameras and liners. And
I'll trust you on this.
The whole deal. And Ron doesn't do that.
Under the rubric of we no longer have a country, which we determined yesterday, we don't. It's over in so many ways. Mm-hmm. First-year medical students at the University of California, Los Angeles, we sometimes refer to that as UCLA, were forced to sit through a lecture given by a Hamas supporter who blasted modern medicine as white science and ordered them to pray to Mama Earth. Hmm. Lisa Tiny Gray-Garcia. Gray-Garcia gave a two-hour-long lecture called Housing Injustice in L.A. Mama Earth was never meant to be bought, sold, pimped, or played, Gray-Garcia said in a clip of her speech. I'm reading from the New York Post. She claimed private property and scarcity are capitalist, she called it crapitalist.
Okay.
Crapitalist lies that killed black, brown, and houseless people. And she rallied against efforts.
We don't know that.
She rallied against efforts to clean homeless encampments. Let me stop right there because I had a deep thought last night. I saw in the news that there is a new homeless encampment in Minneapolis.
Okay.
It's whack-a-mole. Wherever you clear them out, they spring up.
Yep.
And the Channel 5 people were interviewing the residents of the neighborhood. It's on 5th Street, and I'm sorry, I don't know what the cross-section is. But here's what I would do for those people. Seriously, I hope one of them is a listener, which seems unlikely in urban Minneapolis, but maybe they are. All the neighbors should get together and create get the help of a lawyer and say you're not paying your property taxes until, and then give them a date that you want this homeless camp cleaned up and submit that to the city council. And if you get enough people who subscribe to the idea, we're not paying our property taxes, right, they can't put them all in jail and then have the lawyer have provisions in the letter saying, and when we resume paying property taxes, there will be no penalty for those that we did not pay. And fight fire with fire here, people. You got an inadequate, incompetent city council. You got an incompetent mayor. The city's going down the drains. Hit them where it hurts. Take away the money they use to play their BS games.
And you know how you could get away with it? I just read recently that because of the lack of businesses providing that, the property taxes have gone up significantly because of that.
You got to get everybody on the block to do it. Yeah. Everybody. I can't imagine you'd have any trouble with that. Yes, Kenny.
Retaliation. What happened in St. Paul when a block of people didn't want curb and gutter in front of their houses?
Ooh. They won.
After how many years of fighting and being ignored and crapped upon by
the
city?
They didn't try the anti-property tax route. I'm telling you, tell the city, our money, our particular a chunk of money here is drying up until you take care of this. Give them a date and then make sure you also have a provision that says, and we're not paying up what we didn't pay while you're lollygagging.
I absolutely love your idea, but I wouldn't be on board.
Well, that's because you're a word I can't say.
Well,
a Penelope.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, but...
But what Kenny's trying to say is they own, they have the hammer.
Yeah.
And not if you get enough people, they don't.
All that means to me is it's eminent domain on the entire block. That's what I see happening. I see payback and retaliation.
You
and plus
big
my taxes,
baby.
My taxes come right out of my mortgage.
You're
so
a
B-A-B-Y. I know I am, but.
You know what, you know, Kenny?
That's I've received threatening letters from not only the IRS but the Minnesota Department.
Not to
what's it called?
Revenue. Not to pile on, but Kenny makes a good point. I wonder how many people don't have their taxes tied in with their mortgage.
I do not.
Well, I know you don't, but I'm wondering if how many are in that group.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm good with the government. I want to keep it that way.
Right.
We good right now.
Yeah. You're good with the government.
But
I'm not.
I don't owe them anything is what I'm saying. We're up and up.
Kenny likes to keep a low profile.
Back to UCLA Medical School and the speech the students were forced to hear by Tiny Garcia. She's a crackpot. Let me turn the page and get you the rest of her stuff. Not only are our bodies considered unclean in public, not only are our lives criminalized for being outside without a roof, but politricksters use us for their campaign, she said. Gray Garcia went on to note that California spent $30 million on the removal of our houseless bodies and asked students to think about how many homes could be built with that money, even in these inflated, ridiculous prices of commodified mama earth. At another point during the lecture, Greg Garcia is said to have called modern medicine white science and said they were in what the settlers call Los Angeles. In other instances, the advocate for the homeless led students in chants of free Palestine. And when one student refused to stand during a second pagan prayer, an unidentified UCLA faculty member asked for the pupil's name, sparking concerns they could face repercussions, yep. The Jewish faculty resilient group complaint said, "I was deeply offended and disgusted. Somebody who witnessed the event told Fox News, calling it crazy. I think even probably all students who stood up, a good number of felt unsettled regardless of your religious persuasion." The Jewish faculty group said the lecture should never have taken place. If anything of that ilk managed to occur in campus, notwithstanding efforts to avoid it, the immediate obligation of all administrative staff should have been to end it immediately and to support the students who have been mistreated. The professors wrote to the chancellor, Gene Block. Instead, the staff acted exactly to the contrary of their responsibilities. The staff members urged Block to put an end to anti-Semitism and political indoctrination that is continuing to take place at the UCLA David Geffen School of Medicine. So Geffen popped for their Medical School. Hmm. The university is already facing a federal probe into anti-Semitic acts that have occurred in the school, and the Jewish faculty group noted in their letter, Geffen, by the way, is a Jew. He could take away his money.
Right.
See, I'm all for the money part, but Kenny doesn't want. He wants to stay in the good graces of the city council.
Yeah.
The university is already facing a federal probe into anti-Semitic acts that have occurred at the school, and the Jewish faculty group noted in their letter that Gray Garcia once came to a campus wearing a terrorist-themed costume.
Wow. That's
on cool. social media, she claims that the Hamas October 7 attack on Israel was justified. As we hold our relatives in occupied Palestine and all of Mama Earth in prayer and love, we need to make connections, she said. For us houseless, indigenous, swept, evicted people, we are not separate from this struggle. We suffer from the same settler colonial terror. The failed academy has really jumped all over that settler colonialism a bit. On November 1st, she wrote, when you resist after decades of relentless policing, killing, and terrorism, that's not terrorism, that's justice. Meanwhile, the school has also come under fire for its HEALS curriculum, under which, this is why we no longer have a country, yeah. much less go to the doctor. The HEALS curriculum, under which the entire first year of medical school focuses on structural racism and health equity. It was
laughable.
Designed to empower students to become physicians and committed to humanistic care. Well, they're not going to become very good physicians because what you have built into that kind of BS is advancement not based on meritocracy.
Yep.
Yeah. You'll have advancement based on equity.
A doctor that doesn't know sheep.
Bleep.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening at UCLA. Lovely campus. I spent time there. It's beautiful. Wealthy.
That's such a good point. You know, you talked about Tim Christopher, Reverend, mm-hmm. needing a kidney. Do you think he wants...
He ain't going to any of these people.
You think he wants the best black doctor, or he wants the best doctor operating on him?
You think he wants...
He wants the best doctor.
Do you think he wants a female doctor who specializes in Hamas?
No. He would reject that.
Does he want a doctor who specializes in the urinary tract?
What?
Yes, that's kidneys.
Oh, okay.
Did you say UCLA had a comeback for this, Joe? That they
the Jewish faculty have a comeback. The school has not given a comeback.
Because, as you've noted, none of this has anything to do with medicine.
Not well, either does the HEALS program, which they've come under fire for, which is, let's go back to the HEALS program, H-E-A-L-S, their acronym. For, I'll get there. You just hang on. The old mayor's going to get there. The acronym for structural racism and health equity. That's not medicine.
No.
That's racism and equity.
I was trying to come up with something more outrageous than this, that maybe we could book a tour of the failed academies, much like the yo-yo guy used to get on TV stations.
Yeah.
I want to come up with some kind of outrageous premise and see if we could get a tour booked. And I was thinking along the lines of all white people should be arrested and put in camps and something, you know, just stupid and outrageous. But I don't know if I could beat this lady. I mean, this is way out there on the outrage limb.
She's got you defeated, especially when she dresses up in her terrorist costume.
Yeah, and she will not show her face in public.
No.
Yeah.
And she's dressed up like an idiot in the speech. Yeah. She's got her face covered. She's got dark glasses on, a baseball cap. And
why
camouflage.
Do they?
And they probably paid her $5,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't.
When you read it, she's the kind of person, you know, 40 years ago, we'd have gone, oh, isn't that cute, a terrorist? But she wouldn't be speaking at UCLA's medical school.
No. Right. No. She's at medical school.
No, yeah, she'd be at the Twitch farm where she belongs.
Yeah.
We don't have a country.
Right.
But one of these days, we're going to have a 70-degree Friday.
Is that right?
And when we do, that opener is going to be brought to you by Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in western Wisconsin.
Fantastic.
Let me cross that off.
Okay.
No.
This doesn't work.
Stop.
He keeps hitting buttons, and they never work. He's a fired up Joe Soucheray.
I'm shocked by that revelation. Hey, I got a great email, actually handed directly from the mayor himself, about Keller Tax Service from David. This is great. I hope this gets to Mr. Reavers before Linda's last spot. She just informed me that I was...
Joe.
Hello?
She just informed me that I was her longest distance client last year. Linda worked with me and got my taxes done while I was living in the Philippines. What a great service provided. And it's because of being an avid listener that I found KellerTaxService.com.
All right. The Philippines.
First of all, we've got a listener in the Philippines. That's fantastic alone.
Paul's letter to the Philippines.
And then, of course... It speaks to that point that Linda mentioned or said to me earlier in the campaign. Just because you don't live in Minnesota doesn't mean she can't take care of you. If she handles all types of returns for all types of people, filing single, married, as a business, whatever, she'll take care of you. In fact, I just had a phone call with her last night about some upcoming changes the Reavers household needs to make in 2024.
Cool.
Anyway,
is she going to represent you or represent your wife? Oh, she's not that kind of lawyer.
She might pick my better half.
Got it.
But go online to her website, KellerTaxService.com. It's crunch time, ladies and gentlemen. Tax day is Monday. So if you can, book that appointment. If you filed an extension, still reach out to her because I know she's really busy right now, but she's still willing to help all of you GLers. And she's also extremely thankful for all of you that have reached out. She wanted me to thank John and Kenny personally on this ad as well. But go on her website and make sure you let Linda know that you heard about her here on the Garage Logic Podcast. Thank you, Linda.
How come foghorn is the only thing that works?
I heard that.
Reavers?
Yes, sir.
If my roommate drove off a cliff on purpose and wrecked her car, she would blame it on me because I didn't tell her not to.
Yeah. Right. That's essentially what my conversation was yesterday at my home.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
It's always my fault.
Tell me? Yeah, she almost pulled a Will Sasso doing Jesse. I don't know. Why don't you tell me why I didn't take out enough money last year?
Why didn't you tell me about the cliff?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a cliff there. I drove off it.
Here's John Knight.
Husbands accepting the blame for thousands of years.
I had my car on ridiculous, but Tesla. I'm on the Baja off the grid.
Well, I got news for you, you moron.
Do you drive a car
if
with
you
gas?
Require electricity, you're on the grid.
Plug it in.
That's right. Here's John Hite.
Gas people. Why don't you go tell me where to buy Seafoam? You know?
John Hite.
Yes. This update is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Breaking news this morning. We'll try to fill in some details here with what I've been able to find. Minnetonka police have confirmed an incident at the intersection of East Crestwood Drive and Mayview Terrace. Officers are still on the scene at this time. Now, CARE 11 reports an Edina ambulance arrived at HCMC and went to the emergency entrance. We don't have any word on who may be brought to the hospital. There is at least one Channel 9, one news source that is reporting that two officers were hit by gunfire, one in the hand taken to the hospital, and the other not requiring a trip to the hospital. And there's unofficial word on the perpetrator of all this, what may be happening or may have already happened to that perpetrator. So I guess as soon as we get some official confirmation on any of that, we will let you know. Other news, starting this weekend, light rail riders will have fewer cars to pick from on their trains. Metro Transit says the light rail will be moving to a two-car train system during weekends in an effort to improve the longevity of train cars and reduce maintenance costs. Chief Operating Officer Brian Funk calls it right-sizing, saying with the number of current riders, Metro Transit feels a two-car operation would fit fine. During a Metropolitan Council meeting this week, Funk shared the plan, getting support from Met Council members. He also broke down rider data, Ridership is up this year compared to last year. The Green Line is down, though, 21% in riders compared to 2019 and 33% on the Blue Line compared to 2019. This is not the first time Metro Transit has tested a two-car train operation. In 2022, it made the move in an effort to address rider safety. This time around, while that's not the main focus, Funk says the fewer cars will help the agency's new onboard agent program, where Metro Transit reps are on the train checking for tickets and interacting with riders. Residents of the Phillips West neighborhood of Minneapolis are asking city leaders to remove that recently erected homeless encampment you were talking about.
That's the area I'm talking about. Don't pay your taxes.
Neighbors in Minneapolis police said a new homeless encampment was set up March 27th in the 2900 block of Fifth Avenue South in Minneapolis, just north of East Lake Street. One neighbor told our Five Eyewitness News friends that residents in the area sent a letter to the mayor, Jacob Fry, MPD Chief Brian O'Hara, and the entire city council asking them to take action and remove the encampment. The neighborhood resident said, "We're scared out of our minds. I've had people on my porch at 2 a.m. There's needles on the ground. There's broken glass everywhere, and we have a ton of kids that live on this block." MPD records showed that since the encampment was set up about 2 weeks ago, there have been more than a dozen calls to the property, including a stabbing, a drug overdose, and an explosion. Minneapolis City Council member Latricia Vita says the city should move to close down the encampment. She said, quote, "I mean, it's got to be removed. We can't allow these to keep happening. And yes, we have a problem where we clear one out and one goes back in, but we've got to keep doing it until we figure it out."
It's an outrage.
Star Tribune reporting, with a vote looming this week to reconsider Minneapolis's new rideshare minimum wage law, City Council President Elliot Payne and Council Member Katie Cashman and Orrin Chowdhury said they will seek to push back the ordinance's effective date by 2 months, to July 1st.
Why did these idiots do it in the first place?
Yeah. Council members say the extra months would then allow them to collaborate with state lawmakers and provide more time for new rideshare startups looking to enter into the metro market. Multiple companies have expressed interest in operating in the Twin Cities to fill the gaps that would be left by Uber and Lyft, which have pledged to leave the city once the ordinance takes effect. City's rideshare ordinance passed last month over Jacob Fry, the mayor's veto, has caused increasing consternation among business groups and disability and senior advocates as its start date of May 1st nears. Councilmember Andrea Jenkins, who had voted for the ordinance, has asked the council to reconsider the ordinance at its meeting tomorrow.
Remember the question that you asked the group yesterday, I believe, before the program started?
I don't remember.
Is the council smart enough to have pulled this off?
Right.
To give this, that pretty much answers your question, doesn't it?
They weren't smart enough to do that. Right. I thought maybe they disbanded Lyft and Uber to accommodate their friends. They're not smart enough.
No, they are not.
They are developing a habit, though, aren't they, of kicking things down the road when they can't decide
they're
what to do.
They're terribly incompetent. They've never done anything in their life except be an activist. They're in way over their head, and the city's going to pot.
Hey, thinking is hard. Yeah. Come on, man. Dude.
If you're a UCLA medical student and you're in class and it's cellular structures or something that a doctor would need to know, and your neighboring seatmate is a so-called marginalized from the marginalized world. Yep. Oh, what would equity have to do whether you grasp the concept of the cellular structure? You either grasp that or you don't. If the person who doesn't grasp that is going to continue to be advanced based on equity, doesn't that by definition result in someone who won't know how to be a doctor?
Yes.
Okay.
That's scary.
Oh, that gets the horn, though, doesn't it? Doesn't scare you.
It can. I was just an interlude,
that's
John.
Lush.
I'm sorry. Go
that's
ahead.
That's very lush.
Yeah.
Minneapolis-based Target Corp is taking a new tack to combat theft at self-checkout stations. They're adding a new technology. I've actually seen this in action at a different store at the self-checkout registers that uses cameras to detect items on scanners, alerting shoppers who leave anything unscanned. The technology is called TrueScan. It's being rolled out to all stores this year. It could help Target track shoppers who repeatedly fail to scan items, even after being prompted. Shoppers would get audio and visual cues when they don't scan items, and the technology has been piloted in some Targets in recent months. The store announced another change a couple of weeks ago concerning self-checkout. Starting now, you can only have 10 products at the self-checkout registers. The company says it will open more traditional lanes that are staffed by employees.
Sir? So I got really sleepy during this story, but I did try to make my way through it. Is there anything in the story about the cost of hiring an employee versus the cost of this technology? Because I like having somebody there to walk on over and
me too.
Help a guy out.
That leads me to a good question. How much time do I have as a guy who wants to go through the day paying cash for things, gas and what have you, just be a cash guy, and I pay my bills with a check that I put in the mail? How much longer do I got?
Not much.
10, 7,
I think it was
9,
over 5 years ago.
8, 7, 7 quick, huh? 6.
Let me tell you a little story, Such. Saturday morning, 11 a.m., I stroll into Fleet Farm to get just one item, a bag of coffee. I just need some coffee.
That's where I go.
And I go to Fleet Farm. I have reasons for going there. I get in there, and every single register has a line going around the block, and I knew it was going to be 30 minutes. I went to the self-checkout, and I was in and out of that store in under 5 minutes. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I love self-checkout.
The self-checkout would have thrown me. I have done it once, and I needed a great deal of help.
It talks you through it. Like, yeah. I step up to it.
I had a human talking me through it.
Well, I mean, my point is I start making mistakes right off the bat, and the machine fixes it for me and tells me what to do. It says, panic. No, dummy, scan it first.
The worst part is when you have the receipt, and then you've got the person at the end before you can get back out to the parking lot where you have to do the list of shame, and they kind of go through the list like, bought some of these,
Well, how did you pay for the coffee?
You really think you need Velveeta?
How did you pay for the coffee? The plastic card?
Joe, the way the rest of America does.
Poop on that. I'm not doing that. Here's my money. Well, take it or leave it.
You may never be able to shop again pretty soon. Then,
I don't shop a great deal. But I noticed,
really?
Seriously, I've noticed a trend where I'm somewhat frowned upon for producing cash, no matter what store I'm in.
Oh, yeah,
frowned upon. It's, really, you're that guy, you know?
Joe, it's not just stores, though. You can't get a turkey sandwich at the state fair with cash.
Well, I won't get one then.
That's true. Yeah.
You don't know what you're missing, brother.
I've had them before.
Won't they still take your cash?
No.
Why?
No cash.
That was always the great reason to be at the state fair, the cash, you know?
Yeah. With them, I think it's because they got robbed of thousands and thousands of dollars a few years ago.
That's right. They had the big gun.
I can't help it if they're morons.
Didn't the beer guys have?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember when at the fair we'd get a big box full of those turkey sandwiches in the morning in the back room?
Yeah. I don't remember that.
You don't?
Because by the time I arrived, I'm sure they were all eaten.
You understand how that works, though. When you're a dealer and you're selling something that you want the general public, you give out free samples. And then pretty soon the public is calling you at 3 in the morning needing an eight ball. I mean, another turkey sandwich.
Why don't we take a break
The two owners of that turkey to go.
Are they Tom? Is it Tom Turkey?
Drew and I forget the other guy's name. They were the first people to hire Matthew in the real estate industry.
Huh.
He had to check locks in North Minneapolis.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. They were no dummies. And he went once with my wife. And my wife said, if anybody asks you what you're doing here, tell them you're here to buy drugs. And they'll leave you alone.
Let's take a break.
That's actually brilliant. That's really smart.
I married a smart one.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Rook, what do you got?
Here we go. If you need to escape, then you need to get in touch with escapewithusvacations.com. That cruise is coming up, the Split to Dubrovnik. That's July 14th through the 21st, 8 days on a private yacht. There are a couple cabins available, and you got a little. There's also the pre-tour to Lake Bled in Slovenia, and there's a post-tour in Montenegro. You're going to hit three countries in one trip. Let Escape With Us Vacations take care of all the details listed right there on their website. Weather in Croatia is going to be about 80 degrees and plenty of swim stops in the Adriatic Sea after strolling through the quaint Croatian towns of gelato. You got gelato in your hand. You got a little vino. What do they drink in Croatia? I don't know, but I'm about to find out.
Water.
Check it out. Water with a little fun. It's a perfect escape this summer. Call them today. All the details are at their website, escapewithusvacations.com. They are wonderful. Teresa and Maria will treat you right, and they have done everything. They've done all of their homework. So if you're looking for a place to go this summer, go to Croatia. I'm going to have family members there. There's going to be garage logicians there. 651-788-4338. 651-788-4338. Or book your own wonderful vacation, but do it with escapewithusvacations.com.
Care what you want to hear. This doesn't work. None of them work.
Well, you just played one.
This guy wishes.
That's the only one that works.
Not indoors.
Okay. Joe, heard that five times in the last 30 seconds.
He must somehow be logged out on that. I don't know.
GLers, remember how I've told you in the past, it's our job to help the helpless. Teach them how to fish, and they're going to go fishing every weekend or forever or something. I don't know what the deal is, but I love it when I get Seafoam Works related emails from GLers who have used it for the very first time with wonderful results. That happened this week with Mark from the East Side, a 2003 Cadillac Escalade, 305,000 on that thing, and the engine had been making clunking and clanking strange noises for quite some time. He dumped in a can of Seafoam motor treatment. The engine now purrs, and the extraneous noises have simply disappeared. Mark now uses Seafoam in all of his vehicles. And that's what I'm talking about, GLers. But you got to do what everybody else does. What we do, we use it as regular preventive maintenance so things don't get all rattly and noisy and extraneous. And you don't have to bring it to a mechanic and know that he's mocking you behind your back. And the great thing is you find it everywhere. It's more common than Snickers bars, a local company with a global reach and a wonderful product in a world of bad gas, Seafoam.
Are we going back to John?
Yes. Huh? Are we on?
I was sorry. I was just looking at the Minnetonka coverage. What we have now, the latest on that story, Channel 5 reporting multiple sources confirming two Hennepin County deputies expected to survive after being shot while executing the warrant. Two deputies brought to HCMC with non-life-threatening injuries. And that's all we have. There's still officers on scene. And within the next, it looks like 20 minutes or so, they plan to hold a press conference. So my guess is the perpetrator is dead. Yes.
Okay. That's a guess or a fact? That's my
that's
question.
A guess. I haven't seen it reported for sure.
I haven't either.
Yet.
I was looking too. I have not seen it, John.
Yeah. Right. So but we should know more.
This was, you know, was it Fletch that came out a couple of weeks ago talking about the rise in, you know, the threats and the actions against police officers?
And it doesn't make any difference where you are.
No, that's exactly what I was just about to say. It's freaking Minnetonka.
Burnsville, Minnetonka.
Oh, it happens out in the country, too.
In the
it's
country.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And it's always these domestic...
Decline of moral and ethical integrity is eating away at our soul.
We also have had recent... there was one up here the other day, murder-suicides. Mm-hmm. A horrible one up here 2 days ago with two children
with
involved.
The kids in the car.
Mother and two children.
Oh,
and it's,
God.
Third one, I think, in 4 weeks or something like that in the metro. So, yeah. Anyway, on to other news. The consumer price index accelerated at a faster than expected pace in March. That pushed inflation higher and likely dashes any hopes that the Federal Reserve will be able to cut interest rates anytime soon. The consumer price index, a measure of goods and services costs across the economy, rose 0.4% for the month or 0.3 point higher than in February. Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics reporting that this morning. The Dow Jones had been looking at a 0.3% gain. Food prices were a mixed bag, some going up slightly and some falling slightly. The measure for meat, fish, Poultry and eggs climbed 0.9%. Butter fell 5%. Cereal and bakery products declined 0.9%. Food away from home, which would be restaurants, of course, increased 0.3%.
Dozen eggs yesterday at Aldi was $2.09.
That's good, isn't it?
That's good, yeah. It was $1.69 before whatever. So.
Speaking of inflation... I have been waiting to play said audio of your president. Mm-hmm. He was being interviewed yesterday. I don't recognize the journalist who was interviewing him in a sit-down. He was talking about the Second Amendment.
From the very beginning, I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school.
What?
From the very beginning, there were limitations. You couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't. You could own a rifle, a gun, but there were
weapons
certain things
war.
You couldn't. But they weren't weapons of war.
He did not. Fact checked, he did not teach, but you could not own a cannon.
Well, he's Walter Mitty. He's whatever he wants to be. The latest was he said his family were watermen in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So that even more greatly affected him because of the bridge collision. The guy is thackada-wackada-wackada. He's Walter Mitty driving around town. He thinks he's whatever he is. He's been about 15 different ethnicities.
He's lived a great life.
He's just been all over the place. James Thurber invented Joe Biden.
And because he's an idiot, it's not even worth responding to him when he says stupid things like that. I mean, why would he even want to correct him?
You know, if he's at a brewery, he comes from a long line of brewers.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and if he's at a car manufacturing plant, he made cars.
Yes, he
worked in a car plant when
long
he was young.
Long line of
got his Corvette.
Does he think we can get weapons of war as the
you
general?
You have a cannon?
Had a cannon, but it was a small cannon.
I've got this A-10 airplane that I like to fly around and blast tanks out of, you know.
You can have that. But see,
fun.
The 48-hour rule really prevents you from owning, say, a tank.
Right.
They're tough to have in the driveway.
Where am I going to park an A-10 Warthog?
That's right.
I mean, she's going to notice that.
You're going to notice that.
It's hard
to say.
Right.
That thing's been around here forever.
I've had that forever.
You just hang the branches off it like they used to hide
it. Yeah, I don't see anything.
I don't see anything. What are you talking about? In a decision that both sides say may have an effect on balloting in November, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled yesterday a 160-year-old near-total abortion ban still on the books in the state is enforceable, a decision that adds the state to the growing list of places where abortion care is effectively banned. The ruling allows an 1864 law in Arizona to stand that made abortion a felony punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison for anyone who performs one or helps a woman get one. The law, which was codified in 1901 and again in 1913, outlaws abortion from the moment of conception, but includes one exception, that is to save the woman's life. United States Postal Service looking to again raise the price of stamps. Anybody who knows how much a stamp costs right now?
I think it's 55.
You're not even close.
I just bought $40.
I don't know what it is.
$40 worth last week.
Right now it's 68 cents.
They wanted to go to 77.
They want to go 73 is what
73,
I said.
73, I'll take it.
No, that's not a good
still
value.
Still a miracle.
Not a good value.
Still a miracle. Mm.
If the price hike is approved, the new price would take effect in July. Other proposed changes include raising the cost of domestic postcards from 53 to 56% and increasing international postcard prices from $1.55 to $1.65. In a statement, the U.S. Postal Service said the price adjustments are needed to achieve financial stability and that the USPS prices remain among the most affordable in the world. Stamp prices have increased by 36% since 2019 when they cost 50 cents. The audience for the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship ticked up from last year's low for the first time, but for the first time, the men's game drew a smaller TV crowd than the women's final. Connecticut's 75-60 victory over Purdue averaged 14.82 million viewers. The Sunday's women's championship game brought in 18.87 million viewers, so about 4 million more for the women's game. The women's final boasted a 90% increase over the 9.92 million who tuned in for the 2023 game. Sometimes getting your art displayed at one of Europe's finer museums is just a matter of hanging it there yourself. On Monday, a Pinathek der Moderne in Munich reported a reverse heist of sorts. While it was closed to the public, an employee hung one of his own paintings among the museum's modern art collection. The 51-year-old employee was helping to install an architecture exhibit on philanthropy that opened recently when he took a detour to the modern art floor to make the addition, according to the museum. Tina Naylor is a museum spokeswoman. She said he was carrying tools. He was totally unnoticed. As a technician, he was able to move around all areas of the building outside of opening hours. Unfortunately for the worker, the ruse was discovered. The painting was removed from the wall. It was not clear how long the painting had hung unnoticed. The museum said the artwork was about 45 inches wide and 25 inches in length, but it did not say what it depicted or provide any details.
Oh, you know it was Ding Ding, too. Mm-hmm.
About the worker's artistic background.
A fire truck.
Right.
The museum and the worker agreed to part ways. The man, a well-respected employee that the museum did not identify, was also banned from visiting his old workplace. Adding to the aspiring artist's troubles, the police said on Wednesday that they were investigating him for property damage for drilling two small holes in the museum wall.
Oh.
Hung up the painting.
Lame. Hey, did you guys see Roadshow on Monday night?
No.
She paid $15 at the poor people's store worth over $100,000.
Oh. What'd she get?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know who it was.
I mean,
it was
a painting?
Yeah, a painting. Yeah. Here's the secret, and I tried to explain this to the roommate. The more you hate a painting because you think you could stick a brush in your butt and do it yourself, that's the painting to buy.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable. That's always how it works.
This is called butt art by right. Kenneth yeah. Olson.
Here we go. Yep.
John, thank you.
This is called Eclipse.
Right.
Say, my garage door guy is the whole family. Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in western Wisconsin. Best part? There's two best parts. Three. Don't charge more for weekends. Okay. Usually got everything they need, so they don't have to make the run back to the shop. And they're an expert when it comes to an entirely new door in the event you need one. In the meantime, they keep your current door running great. They do the rollers and the springs and the apps that connect your opener to your car and all the stuff I can't do, so they do it. They can do anything, and they do it when they're there. They'll text you when they're on their way. They want to complete it on day one. Their time is spoken for, and your time is spoken for. So let's get this baby done and done correctly. They do great work. They're going to bring us the opener in the event we have one.
Woo-hoo!
Not this Friday. It doesn't look like this Friday. Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in western Wisconsin. It's a GLer-owned business. Find them at precisiondoormn.com or call them. Put this number in your contact list. 612-263-6985, precisiondoormn.com. Well, I want this fixed.
You want a lot of things. You ain't getting them.
People in hell want ice water.
Matthew?
He'd love to play a liner, but it just won't work.
People in hell want ice water. I never heard that one. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have an assignment for GLers.
Hey.
Because the story is way too long, and I would also like you to see if you can get this guy to join us. His name is Uri Berliner. U-R-I. Berliner, like he's from Berlin.
Ein Berliner.
He's a business editor at NPR. He looks a little bit like, who was the chef? Anthony Bourdain. He looks a little bit like Anthony Bourdain.
He does. Yeah. And Tony Lee. And a cross between Tony Lee and Anthony Bourdain.
Wow.
So, GLers, I want you to look up this story. You can get it on the Barry Weiss site called The Free Press. And it's the story of an editor at NPR who is really coming clean. And he said, I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. And he goes on. It's 15 pages long. And I have not completed it. But he is lamenting the idea that NPR, which we all know, GLers all know, is no longer has an audience that reflects GL. much less much of America. The audience they have are the coastal elites. That's this guy telling you this, that they have no conservative ideology, no conservative outlook. And he said the rise of advocacy within NPR took off with Donald Trump. His election at NPR, his election was greeted at NPR with a mixture of disbelief, anger, and despair. It goes on to tell us everything that we've probably all presumed about NPR. But here's a fellow who's on the inside, has been for a long time, and I would think it took some chutzpah on his part to do this. I can't imagine he'll even survive his job, because these people will show their true colors and probably get rid of him, and which would be a shame, because he's decided to come clean. But as I say, I think it's an assignment for GLers to go to the Barry Weiss Free Press site and read this piece. His name is Yuri Berliner. I've been at NPR for 25 years. Here's how we lost America's trust. Yuri Berliner, a veteran at the Public Radio Institution, says the network lost its way when it started telling listeners how to think.
I have to warn GLers, there is a paywall.
For Barry? For Barry Weiss?
Yeah.
Well, I called it up today, and I didn't pay anything.
I think you have a subscription, though, don't you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh. Wait a minute. I'm scrolling. Usually it fades away when you scroll down.
Oh, you can get this for
hold
nothing.
On. I made it all the way to the end scrolling, and I'm still looking at it. That's good.
As long as we're on this subject, I should peel back the curtain for the listeners. GLers, you'll be happy to know that the mayor earlier this week had to borrow the subscription from Johnny Height for his own newspaper online.
Oh, yeah. I got one at home, and I don't know what the password is. And, right.
I'm waiting for their prices to drop before I sign up again. I'm not paying $4 a week after 6 months.
This is a wonderful piece. I recommend it. It's an insider telling us that we're not crazy for the way we've chosen to view NPR. We're not crazy at all. I would say the same for NPR. It's a bit ridiculous. Their biases are completely obvious, and they're no longer even attempting to pretend there isn't one. And here is a fellow who's telling you that, look, I've been there for 25 years, and here's what's happened. And I recommend it highly. It'll help you make your decisions about your news-gathering sources. And I can't recommend it enough. Yuri Berliner. U-R-I's his first name, Berliner. B-E-R-L-I-N-E-R. Yuri Berliner. The piece is dated yesterday. So it's brand new. It's hot off the presses. It's April 9th, 2024.
I have not heard of the failed Academy Sarah Lawrence.
I have.
Where is it?
I believe that would be East Coast, but one of you fellas could quickly look
it
up. Sarah Lawrence. This guy said, look, I sound like the typical NPR guy. I drive a Subaru. I was raised by a peace activist lesbian mother. I fit the NPR mold. I'll cop to that. And then he goes on to say, now God bless him. I don't know how he was able to have his eyes opened or retain any common sense at all, but he did, and he's relaying that to us. Sarah Lawrence, I believe, I guess it's no longer an all-female school.
Oh. Sarah Lawrence College, private liberal arts college, started 98 years ago. Endowment, $110 million.
Where, Matt?
It is
Yonkers, New York.
It's right in New York, huh?
Originally a women's college, it became co-ed in 68.
Is there sports nicknamed the Bonkers?
No. But it would be, I bet, I don't care if I'm unfair. I think I'm on solid ground in telling you that I bet it's in the top 10 of failed academies.
Division III, the Gryphons? Griffin?
Whatever.
G-R-Y-P-H-O-N. I've never seen it spelled like
that. Yes, Chris.
Sarah Olivia Lawrence is an Australian model, comedian, and TV personality. She is best known for her role in the Australian feature film Stone Bros.
It's a different Sarah Lawrence, you idiot.
Right.
Is she related to Vicki Lawrence?
I don't think so.
Such, he claims that NPR hasn't always been the way it is now. And wouldn't you say that if that in fact is true, I know you might dispute that, but wouldn't you say that NPR has just fallen into the same old trope, if that's the right word, that all news gathering
yes.
institutions,
yes.
you pick a side and you go with it,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a date in mind to suggest that where NPR was reasonable. They, in my time frame, they haven't been reasonable for my listening life. But that might be unfair. They might have been reasonable, you know, in the 60s. I don't know. I can't remember.
All I know is what I hear from our friend Kathy, who hosts the local part of Morning Edition, I believe it's called.
Yeah, she's MPR, Minnesota Public Radio.
And she gets hate mail from both sides of the political aisle, mm-hmm. depending on who she interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, yeah. I'm going to read this thoroughly as part of my homework assignment.
Let me know what you find.
You couldn't have listened to NPR in the 60s because it didn't exist.
Okay.
Yeah,
according to what I'm reading.
Wasn't it 72?
71, April 19th, 1971.
All right, then in the 70s, I don't know. I can't remember what I thought of it.
And wasn't the first Minnesota station outstate? Was it Collegeville?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Keeler made his debut in 1974 on MPR, so he was fairly a pioneer with the founding of MPR.
Garrison said he's having more fun as a washed-up has-been than he ever did as somebody.
Yeah, 57 years ago in 67, St. John's University Broadcasting.
So NPR was there before NPR.
Rook, try and get Garrison to join us again prior to his big anniversary show in St. Paul this summer.
Okay.
He'd be fun to have in again.
Is it June, if I remember right?
I believe so. This is so 74 to, well, it's his 50th. It's his 50th anniversary.
Weren't you going to get us tickets for that, Joe?
No, Garrison will. I have no pull with Garrison.
He doesn't
Garrison.
Have enough money for that.
No. Taylor Swift ain't coming to town again, is she?
Right. No, not for a while. What's he doing now?
Only Because They Come to Us is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson.
That's right.
With the finally engineered a claim windows. Only Because They Come to Us. All the way from Apache Junction, Arizona, from the Traveling Lymans. It was on this day in history.
You're talking about April 10th, bruh?
On this day.
4/10.
In 1855, Jakob Feldi was born in Norway. He sculpted a work, Hiawatha and Minnehaha, displayed in Minnehaha Park.
Yeah.
And the statue of Ole Bull, located in Loring Park, Minneapolis.
Mm. I've seen both of them. The one in Minnehaha Park is sometimes flooded by the creek in the spring.
It's a creek, but it's flooded nonetheless. On this, we didn't do much on this day.
No?
Because this is the only other one.
4/10?
On this day.
Which is the opposite of 10/4, good buddy.
In 1895, the ocean liner St. Paul was launched at last. The International Navigation Company had intended to launch the ship on March 25, inviting 70 dignitaries to Philadelphia for the occasion. After the champagne bottle was broken, however, the ship refused to budge.
Oh, no.
So they finally
was
got
it like
her.
Like on Caddyshack when she's trying to bang.
They finally got her down the ramp on this day in. I hope you choked to death. They finally got her down the ramp on this day in 1895, the ocean liner St. Paul.
It's fascinating. Garrison will be at the Fitz Friday, July 12th, yep. Saturday the 13th, and Sunday the 14th.
That's his 50th. No that's his 50th anniversary.
Oh, they added a third show. Can you scroll down?
Yeah, so the Sunday the 14th at 3 p.m.
There is limited seating there.
Yeah, and you're going to have to get these tickets now, Such. If we don't get in because of you.
Well, why don't you get them?
Yeah, right. He's up in these.
I don't have Lamborghini kind of money.
Right. I don't either.
Yeah, you do.
No, well, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a 2-year-old model that's been returned after the lease. It's right up your alley.
$230,000 on it.
Yeah.
Hard miles.
Right. What does it go up to about 210? Miles. You want to get it up to 220, right?
That there ain't a Lamborghini alive that's ever gotten to 200,000 miles. Fine. Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay.
Yep. See ya.
Hey, speaking of the ball game, esteemed town council members, we are headed back to Target Field Thursday, May 9th to play a little hooky. You can join the crew and cabinet members as we take over Target Field when the... Wait, that's right. I can't say that name. When Minnesota takes on Seattle Thursday, May 9th, it's the Town Council Target Field Takeover. Tickets are free for Town Council members on a first-come, first-served basis. You can claim yours right now at GarageLogic.com. Not a Town Council member? Not a problem. Join the Town Council now and then claim your tickets. Learn more. Claim your tickets. Everything's online at GarageLogic.com.